welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And we are back. Took a break yesterday. Also wasn't feeling it 100%, so he's doing a lot better today.
Been a long week, but I do will tell you this, guys, make the week a little bit better. You voted on it. Magnesium Brain Food, what product of the week on sale. Up, we had a issue with the supply coming in that's kind of delayed it. So if you do, and you did order like 4 or 5 cans on sale, and we only sent you one, and we backordered the rest of them, bear with us. I know I did that. That was my most effective way to triage it, so to speak. Get you guys at least a can in, and then we get the rest of it out to you guys as quick as possible.
You guys love that powdered multiple.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. It went on sale, and everybody's stockpiling it. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, well,
I was waiting on a new batch to come in.
I would do the same thing. Oh, by the way, RFK has slashed all U.S. funding for Bill Gates Global Vaccine Alliance.
There you go.
Isn't that great?
About time.
Oh, my gosh.
That piece of trash.
Oh. Last month, the unsuspecting and deserving people of Ghana got discreetly slapped by Bill Gates when the bioterrorist posing as heroic nerds global bioterror network, GABA, officially unleashed a new totalitarian biomonitoring regime on the nation of Ghana under the guise of public health. Wow.
That was a dramatic title.
Oh, my gosh. And so now, so basically now Bill Gates is lobbying the White House to reverse the USAID cuts. Yeah,
there you go.
And then Kennedy says no more funding for Bill Gates. And he did one other thing that's very big. He took out the thimerosal from the flu shot.
I saw that. They basically, the vaccine advisors voted to stop recommending flu shots to have any thimerosal.
That's because we got rid of the vaccine advising board that was there.
That's exactly right.
Now remember, thimerosal is a fancy name for mercury. It's a neurotoxin. If you ever watch what happens when mercury gets into the cell around neural tissue, it just destroys it instantly. It kills big. And so what happens is the flu shot, every single flu shot I've ever checked had thimerosal in it, all of them. Now they're saying it was only 5% of the nation's supply. Now, that's hard for me to believe, Austin.
Yeah.
I don't buy that at all. I think it was almost pretty much every single one of them. It says RFK's newly appointed vaccine advisory panel voted to recommend Americans take flu shots without a chemical that conspiracy theorists believe causes autism. Remember, we're conspiracy theorists.
Because you think injecting mercury in your body is healthy? What?
That makes me a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Morons. The dramatic reversal in the federal vaccine guidance allows Kennedy's sweeping removal of all 17 members of the previous advisory committee. Yes. Their replacement handpicked by Kennedy, including several vaccine skeptics, cast their first vote by a margin of 5-1 to discourage the use of thimerosal-containing flu shots, a formulation used less than 5% of the doses in the U.S. I don't believe that. Scientists, I think it's probably 95% that are used. Scientists have determined that the mercury-based preservative poses no health risk. Total lie. The panel's decision ignores decades of scientific consensus. Total lies. Decades of scientific consensus that mercury is a neurotoxin. You know, I remember one time we had a woman, a little girl. We were in elementary school, Austin. Her name was Nina.
Yeah.
And Nina was not real bright, but she was real pretty. And I remember she broke open a thermometer with mercury in it.
Oh, yeah. They usually have to shut down the whole school or wing of the school.
Well, no, they're
now they do.
So everybody's in the back playing with the mercury.
Oh, this is a long time ago.
Now
they tell you if mercury gets exposed like that, they shut down the whole classroom.
So why would they shut down the whole school classroom and bring in a hazmat team if that happens? And now thermometers don't use mercury anymore because of this very reason. And they used to have mercury switches in air conditioners. Remember that?
Yep.
They don't have those anymore. All that stuff's all in the past
phased
now.
Out.
Because you know you see the little bubble on the switch on the thermostat, and you'd move the bubble over, and it'd hold this thing. Liquid mercury would drip over because it's a metal, and it conducts electricity. And so what happens now? They've stopped doing all that because it's so toxic. But yet they're saying, "Oh, it's conspiracy theory to say that mercury is bad for you." I mean, unbelievable. Still, there's no demonstrable evidence of vaccine, of evidence of harm, you know, with mercury. Let me say this real quick. It's medically and morally unethical to inject people with mercury to see if something happens to them when we all know it's a neurotoxin.
Exactly right.
So they can't prove, quote unquote, beyond a reasonable doubt with a double blind clinical research study that there's evidence that if we give you this shot, you're going to have permanent brain damage because you can't do that to people. Think about that for a second. So there's no evidence. There's so much evidence with mammals what mercury does and how toxic it is. It's a neurotoxin, period. And now they're taking thimerosal out. So I have to applaud Kennedy. I don't like the flu shot at all. There's probably other adjuvants in it also. Of course, mercury was a sterilant.
Yeah.
But they're probably using Lumenman there now, Austin.
Lumenman's one of the big ones. It says Redwood presentation there that thimerosal was first used as a vaccine preservative in the 1930s without any study demonstrating its safety.
And they don't call it mercury. They call it thimerosal.
So the FDA later grandfathered thimerosal as an approved vaccine ingredient without performing adequate safety testing. Redwood said that thimerosal has a 49.6 concentration of mercury. So thimerosal is made up of almost exactly half mercury, the third most toxic element to humans in the world. Third. Most toxic.
What are the first two?
I don't know. Let's say right here. Just thimerosal levels in flu vaccines are 250 times higher than the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency safety allows in any aspect of human consumption.
It reminds me of the barium and the aluminum and the rainwater that we tested.
Yes.
The two separate samples here, how high they were. They weren't safe for human consumption.
Yeah.
But yet they tell you, oh, it's okay. No big deal to put mercury in this vaccine and inject a neurotoxin, the third most dangerous substance to human beings in the world, into your bloodstream so it can go to your brain.
I'm actually curious what the other two are, and I'm going to look them up here in a second. But no, and that's the crazy part about it, 250 times higher than the EPA even allows. And the EPA, golly, they allow some stuff to go through that's absolutely ridiculous. So,
you know, the other day I was over talking to Stingray Chevrolet, great place in Plant City, by the way, if you want to get a good Chevrolet, talk to Shannon if you go in. Just thought I'd mention that. And no, they're not paying me to tell you this. I like those guys. But what was interesting, they had to spend X amount of dollars. It was almost $1 million to put in charging stations. Remember, Austin?
Gosh, yes.
Because Chevrolet deemed it so because of their chargeable cars they were producing. And what was funny is they had to put a whole new substation in.
No, I know.
To handle the massive amount of electricity these cars drain. Well, guess what? Trump's energy chief is now warning the U.S. power grid is reaching its limit as the administration works to avert a train wreck. Wait a minute. Did anybody not think through this garbage when they started making millions of electric cars that have to be plugged into the power grid?
And this is what kind of boggles my mind right now. Okay. They started mandating all this stuff. They started funneling all this cash to expand these charging stations and substations. It doesn't take significant amount of research to realize this stuff wasn't going to be sustainable with the power grid. We start plugging millions and millions of cars into the grid every single night that have these lithium-ion batteries, and you got to plug them in every single day. We all knew this. We talked about it years ago. And speaking of the three most toxic elements, polonium, that's highly radioactive. That's the most toxic element known to man.
Then plutonium. So mercury is right up there with plutonium and polonium. Post that. So we have
plutonium.
So we have the three most toxic elements. Mercury is toxic. Humans affecting the nervous system, digestive system, and the kidneys. Chronic exposure leads to serious health problems, including mercury poisoning. Common uses: thermometers, dental amalgams, which is unbelievably stupid. People still do that. Industrial processes like chlorine production. There you go. So
right
all
below plutonium.
So yeah. So we're injecting something. One of the three most toxic.
It's more toxic than arsenic.
Let's keep on going now. More toxic than radon. Keep going. Let's see what else. More toxic than fluoride.
Oh, yeah, they put that in the food supply. Yeah.
More toxic than chlorine, which kills bad everything.
Lead.
More toxic than lead.
But yeah, we pulled lead paint off.
Yeah.
Years ago.
What else we got on here?
Uranium.
Oh, it's more toxic than uranium and more toxic than cadmium and thallium. And beryllium and anima. Gosh, some pretty. but there's no proof to prove it's bad.
You know, I think we're doing that. You know, the best thing to do is probably pull the mercury out. Let's try plutonium. Let's start adding plutonium.
It's not as poisonous, or let's put arsenic in there.
Yeah.
It's not as bad.
Arsenic's less poisonous.
Unbelievable. But anyhow, the power grid's about to collapse because we plugged too many cars into it. So there you go. Oh,
well, the issue is, and let me address, I want to tie in this real quick while you said this. One of the issues, too, is that with these electric vehicles that they're trying to expand on here, there's no infrastructure expansion, but you're starting to use more and more and more and more of these charging stations, and they're making more of these cars, and there's no aspect of them of actually doing anything productive. There's no upside to electric cars. There's no upside. They have horrible resale value. They have insane depreciation schedule. They're unbelievably unreliable in most cases. You can't go on trips with them. You can't travel freely on your way for long distances. It's almost like, kind of like what we said, they wanted this to cause a problem. Then they could say, well, it's the green energy deal. We need to do more of this. We need to do more of this. Everybody needs to stay in their 500-square-foot apartments and keep your thermostat set at 85 every day in order to make sure the power grid doesn't crash.
You know, 80 degrees isn't bad unless you live in an area with high humidity.
80 is hot.
No, well, no, no. I mean, you could choke it. I mean, if you had like 5 or 6 or 10% humidity, 80's not too bad.
Well, why?
If you're wanting to conserve electricity. But the problem is you can't do that in Florida because the AC system doesn't just cool the air. It takes the humidity out.
And you start having mold if you don't get it out.
And then you start sweating in the middle of the night.
You can see, if you do the math here, you can see how they did this entire electric grid system. They did these electric cars. They've done all this green energy. And now they're blaming it on all these other factors so they can control aspects of more people's life. And one thing that I don't agree with RFK that he said the other day now, he said every American should be wearing a wearable during a recent congressional testimony.
What for?
This is interesting. U.S. Health and Human Secretary Services RFK Jr. stated, we're about to launch one of the biggest advertising campaigns in HHS history to encourage Americans to use wearables. My vision is that every American is wearing a wearable within 4 years. Kenny was responding to a question on whether consumers should continue to have access to wearables. He explained they allow users to constantly track in real time how food and lifestyle choices affect their health metrics. He claimed that wearables are the key to make America healthy again. Now, I have to say I'm diametrically opposed to this viewpoint that he is. Merkin Elfkin, which is the director of the Children's Health Defense, which also RFK is a part of, he said, and I quote, we do not share this vision at all with RFK Jr. Quite the contrary. We oppose governmental pressure to incentivize the widespread use of wearables. They pose serious health risks, especially to children, and they threaten privacy. The wireless technologies, including wearables, have cleared well-documented harm. These devices continually emit RF radiation in direct contact with your body for extremely long periods of time. On top of that, they gather all of your data, everything you do, everything you think, and not think, but everything that affects your body. When your heart rate goes up, what you eat in some cases, and all the data, if you look at the terms and conditions, it is all sold to the platform that runs it and the cloud services that it's activated on. So, again, if you're using one of these to monitor something that you feel like you need to for a health
maybe
condition.
Maybe blood glucose.
Got it. But as far as just putting one of these on, and most of the people I know, and the problem with these is they're always obsessed with their, they're always checking. I was like, my heart rate went up. It went up from 72 to 81. what happened last night? Oh, my heart rate spiked at 2 in the morning. I better go to the doctor. I go to the doctor right now.
And guess what happened to him when he did that? He wouldn't have, they put him on beta blockers. And then his lips turned blue and he starts shaking real bad and trembling. Remember this? And then he was mixing the beta blockers with alcohol. And I finally said to him, I said, my friend, I said, something's really wrong with you. And I said, something's going on. So then I looked up alcohol and wine and beta blockers, and it says you never mix those, ever. And I sent him the research on it. But he did the same thing. He wore the, there was nothing wrong with him.
I don't know why people have done this.
No, he was doing great. His blood, here's the thing. You're in the middle of the night, right? You're sleeping. You're in rapid eye movement sleep, and you have a bad dream.
Oh, yeah.
Your heart rate's going to spike.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's going to spike instantaneously because you're going to get a kick of adrenaline, which is going to also probably wake you up.
Your body thinks it's real.
And so all of a sudden, now you wake up next morning, you're looking at, oh my gosh, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I had a spike in my doggone, you know, heart rate. Oh, something's wrong.
30 beats a
minute. I got to go to the cardiologist, which is exactly what he did.
Yep.
Cardiologist, oh, you got some kind of problem. We're going to have to go into the hospital now, and we're going to stop your heart.
Yeah.
Remember this?
We're going to stress test you.
We're going to stress it. No, we're going to stop your heart. We're going to shock you and paddle you and stop your heart. And then we're going to try to start it again.
See if we can replicate the problem.
This actually happened to a friend. And I said, why don't you make sure you got your will done before they stop your heart?
Yeah.
And make sure you're right with Jesus. Because it's maybe the end of you. And let me know when the funeral's going to be. Yeah, here's what I've learned, and I'm not saying that medical people aren't good. I'm not saying that at all. And if I had to have a serious something or another done to me, I'd want to find the best medical professional I could find. But the reality is, if there's nothing wrong with you, why are you running around looking for it? If
yeah.
you feel great and your blood pressure is good and you feel great, you get to go to work every day and you feel good and you're basically staying focused and you don't have any brain fog and your blood pressure is good, your blood sugar is good and everything's good, why do you want to go looking for stuff? I'm going to wear a wearable. This is stupid, Austin.
Well, Ned, it says here, it says the wireless technologies also have extensive, well-documented privacy impacts with wearables. They continuously collect biometric data, heart rate, quality of sleep, blood pressure, cholesterol, oxygen, calorie burning, sweat gland emission, hormone levels, body temperature, emotional responses, and precise geolocation. All of this data is transmitted over the internet and is used to create an intimate profile of users' physical and psychological states. The profile is made available to employers, medical providers, privacy corporations, AI systems, insurance companies, and government entities. This surveillance infrastructure has laid the groundwork for psychological targeting, predictive modeling, social control, and unprecedented intrusion in your personal freedom.
Two words, actuarial tables.
There you go.
Now you look at me like, well, what's an actuarial table?
Pick that one up in a second.
No, it's the insurance company.
Exactly right.
You're 40 years old. Let's check your biometrics.
Yep.
Ooh, our actuarial tables tell us that you're going to die by the time you're 47. Therefore, we're not going to give you any insurance until whatever. We charge you 10 times more than you should pay,
exactly,
and
right,
we're stopping you from getting any more insurance at 46.
And your health insurance.
All of this stuff is going to be given to these guys. It says it right here. It just continues to pump the information out. Because if it's pumping it to an information on a computer screen where you can read it the next day, it's online.
Oh, it's online. It's on a level nobody even understands. Because once it goes to AI models and once all these different corporations and insurance companies inject it into their data, dude, the tables go nuts. Because the predictive modeling goes through the roof.
Well, you know, it's like that one movie, and I've mentioned this before, Don't Look Up.
Yeah,
and
weird movie.
All he says to this guy, he says, well, you know, you're a businessman. He goes, businessman? What do you think, I'm a businessman? And he ends up destroying the planet, by the way, the businessman does. And he goes, I have 14,000 data points on you. I know when you're going to die. I know how you're going to die. I know you have 3 colon polyps. I know all of that's where this is going to, guys. They want to get all these data points. And it won't be 14,000 data points. It'll be 14 million data points.
Well, and that's why every time when I've changed insurance or basically gotten updates, they always ask me this stupid question. Oh, well, we'd like to do a data logging program on your vehicle. And we're gonna give you like a $5 a month discount. We're going to check your driving habits. And I said, you're going to give me a $5 a month discount. What is this data habits? You know, what is this habits, you know, monitoring do? Oh, it's going to check, you know, your speed and your location, how many miles you go and where you go.
How many stop signs you roll through.
Stop signs. Everything's on geo-tracking. And as long as you're a good driver, it may end up increasing, you know, $10 to $15 off your month. And I said, do not ask me stupid questions again. Just give me insurance. This is the dumbest thing I've heard you say in my entire life. No. And what I found out is every time I've watched this happen.
You're an angry young man.
Nah, I can't.
No, the veins.
Dumb.
The veins are sticking out.
So I'm going to get a $5 discount so you can track everywhere I go.
And you can raise your insurance rates.
Oh, 100%.
And drop your policy.
Because every single time I've talked to somebody, that has done this, their insurance invariably always goes up on the next premium hike. They go, well, we monitored that you did an average of 72 miles an hour to 70. You're a dangerous driver. Your insurance is going from 250 a month to 500 a month. I didn't do anything. I was interested with the flow of traffic. Not what the data says.
And remember, the data can't be erased.
Exactly right. It goes to a file system. Then they go, well, you told us that you drive an average of 12,000 miles a year. Well, you've been driving 1,200 miles a month. That means you're driving more than 12,000 miles a year. Insurance goes up. And you're like, all I wanted was a discount. Well, you're not going to discount. Now your rate's double. And thanks for all the data. So now we can sell it to all the third-party advertisers as well.
Well, you know, once your health insurance, same thing, once your health readings go into this black market they use, everybody has access to it.
Yep.
And they sell it, and they make more money on that than you can possibly ever imagine. By the way, more money on this. 6 million student loan borrowers now are about to have their wages garnished.
Woo!
Wow. Is it 2 million now, another 4 million projected, and jobs are harder to find right now. Roughly 6 million federal student loan borrowers are 90 days or more past due after a pandemic-era reprieve ended, according to TransUnion, one of the giant data collection agencies on your credit report. That's TransUnion, Equifax, and
Experian.
The credit reporting company estimates that about a third of them, nearly 2 million borrowers, could move into default into July and start having their paychecks docked by the government. That's up from the 1.2 million that TransUnion had estimated early in May. An additional 1 million borrowers are on track to default by August, followed by another 2 million in September. Borrowers fall into default when they are 270 days past due. due. Borrowers who have a newly reported delinquent, since their student loans have been an average of 60-point drop in their credit scores. So when you don't pay your student loans, you lose 60 points on your credit scores. It means now if you go to buy a car, instead of paying $300 a month, you're going to pay $400 a month in interest.
It's all interest increase.
Unbelievable. The Generation Z college grads are hit with the job market with the worst possible amount of time. So now what they're planning on doing is going in for all of those people who decided to borrow money, and now they are in default on their student loans and jacking them up and getting their wages garnished, which means they will go to your employer and not give you an option of paying anymore. They will not try to take you to court to collect. They don't have to do that. It's a government loan. They will go directly to your paycheck and say, we want 10% of this person's paycheck for the rest of their life to go ahead and make sure we can cover the interest.
Here's the problem that I have with this. I actually had this conversation last night. One of my buddies on the phone, we were talking about the usury of the bankers and how they cannot get enough free air because they're so stinking greedy. When if you default on these loans and they start garnishing your wages, you got to understand, at that point in time, the fees and the interest has already made the entire loan more than it was ever even valued for, significantly more. Secondly, when they start garnishing it, if I'm not mistaken, when you look at it, you're going to be paying probably 20 to 30% of everything you pay out of that is just going to be going to interest.
Well, because remember, when they kick you up to 30% interest, it doubles itself for about a little over two years.
And so if they're doing a minimum garnishment on there, all you're ever going to do is pay off
forever.
Interest. Forever.
You know, this is the same thing Lucifer did.
Exactly.
I covered
right.
Angel Wars. That's why the Bible says the love of money, greed, avarice, is the root of all evil. They sit around like this. They look and go, oh, my gosh, we have a car dealership that I no longer do business with in town.
Yeah.
They got bought up by another big corporation. And they have this greedy little guy with a giant nose coming every week, every month, and goes, I'm looking at every single invoice.
Oh, yeah. All the way down to the six cent.
You have to pay 20% on every bolt you sell, whether it's $2 or $40 or 15 cents. We want 20%.
Yep.
You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. And if they don't match up properly, people get fired and terminated. I have a good friend of mine who worked there for many, many years. Many years. He was a used car sales manager. Didn't quite meet the totals they needed to have him meet. Boom, gone, out, finished. They fired him.
Well, some of these dealerships are so unbelievably greedy. I had a good friend of mine that was working at a Chevy dealership just recently, and they were going into these deals. They were showing basically how to do deals. They said, well, every deal, you need a $4,999 protection package on there. You know, we ceramic coat the paint, and we put nitrogen on the tires, and we do an interior. And I asked him, he goes, well, this doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't pay for this. He goes, well, why do you think they don't need it? I wouldn't pay for this. This is stupid. Well, if you don't add these on the deal, we basically take it backside out of your commission. So I have to add a $5,000, basically, thievery fee. That's all it is. They spend like $50.
That's true.
Spray some spray wax. I've watched them do it. Spray some spray wax on the car, wipe it down with some, most of the detailers aren't even good anyways there. Think about it. It's a protection package. It's for your safety. Oh, we tinted the two windows in the front. Okay. So we're paying $5,000. And the deals that they were looking at were insane. The car would be advertised for $22,000. By the time they added the fees, the sales tax, and the dealer costs on there, the cars were going up to $30,000, $32,000, $33,000. And my friend looked at him and said, this isn't right. I mean, you guys put these people massively in debt. Oh, if you don't want to do this, then it's just not the place you need to work. A lot of dealerships do not care about your credit, your money, your safety, your protection, nothing. I'm not blaming all of them, but some of them, all they care about is stealing as much money as they can from you and putting you in debt and on to the next. So be very cautious with a lot of these dealerships.
There was a dealership in Plant City. It's out of business now. Chevy dealership.
Yeah.
In fact, it was bought up by a different company years ago. And you and I went over there one time because they promised you $20 in fuel if you came in to let them give you a price. Remember that?
Yep.
And you wanted to go over there. And I said, well, they got a real bad reputation.
I had that F-150 pickup truck.
And the owner ended up going to prison.
Yeah.
They weren't paying off the old loans for the vehicles.
Floating them longer, mm-hmm. longer.
And so what happens, we go over there and they take the truck to get it estimated, to get an estimate on it, and they just disappear with it. And some guy comes in there, he's our sales guy. This guy's a complete and total piece of slime, okay? And he's wearing a really nice Rolex. He really was.
I remember that.
And I looked at his watch. He goes, hey, don't look at my watch. Look at me.
Yeah.
And I looked at him. I said, hey, get my truck. We're leaving.
Yeah.
Remember that? And he looked at me kind of funny. He said, what do you mean? I said, we're leaving.
Well, they were trying to push us on a deal, and they were adding all this stuff on. The deal sucked. The numbers were horrible. Like, we're not doing this. Oh, okay. We'll get your truck back around. We're sitting there about 20 minutes.
And finally, they said, well, we don't know where the truck
is.
And I said, watch this. I said, watch how
fast you find the truck.
I'm going to call 911. My truck's been stolen.
Yeah, we're going to have sheriff's department dispatched.
And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I'm calling 911. You've lost my truck. I straight pulled my phone up. I said, you got about 20 seconds. Boy, it showed up in about 20 seconds.
Literally pulled it out. We found it. They just got done appraising it. And they come back in with some bobo number on it. The truck was worth like 13, 14, 15 grand. They come out, we offer you like 7,000 on trade-in on it. Like 7,000? No.
And I don't know if they ever gave us $20 in gas.
No, they didn't.
But the point was be careful on dealerships. If you're going to keep your car for a really long time, you might want to get an extended warranty. But if you're not going to do it past the warranty date on the car,
factory, right.
Don't do it. Just say no.
One of the best hacks you can do, if you can get the numbers right, is a lot of times manufacturers, if a car gets traded in with one owner, they'll do what's called certified warranty, and it's actually a full factory warranty extended. It's not an aftermarket warranty. So Chevrolet, a lot of times, will extend the warranty from Chevrolet to 100,000 miles. If you get a certified one, if the numbers are right and they're not trying to rip you off and they're being a fair dealership, that's the best way to get one. It's like 1 or 2 years old. It's been certified. So it's got like 3 or 4 years of warranty on it.
I'll never forget. I bought another car a couple of years ago. And the guy goes, well, you need to get the wheel protection and tire package. And I said, okay, how much is it? It's $4,000.
I said, I can go buy a brand new set of wheels and tires for $4,000.
And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, well, if you run over a nail, it replaces the tire. And I said, does it prorate the tire?
Yep.
What does that mean? That means if the tread's worn down by 90%, they're only going to give you 10% for the tire.
Exactly right.
And he says, well, I don't know. And I said, well, how about you keep your dog on $4,000 tire warranty? This is ridiculous. But I couldn't even believe it. I'm like, you could buy a whole new set of tires and rims for that.
That's exactly what I told you. It was just stupid. And so
he got piffy with me.
No, they do.
I can't believe you're not doing this.
Well, because if you know the backside of dealerships, all those unbelievably stupid things they want to add on there, the protection package and the wheel protection package, they get like 20 or 30%. Commission on those.
They do.
There's like a $5,000 package on it. They get like a $1,500
commission. The person who sells it.
And what happens is if they don't do it, that backs out. So they don't get any of that on their commission. They just get it basically on the car. So that's why they push you so hard to do it.
So if you've got a dealership that doesn't want to remove those, it's better to get up and walk out of the room.
Exactly right.
Or have somebody who you know review the paperwork, who's bought cars before, to make sure it's not put into the back end and you don't see it. I know that sounds awful, but it really is. Now, funny story today.
All right.
This is great. They got a $4.3 million mansion. Okay. It's a huge home, and it's up in North Carolina. And they have a landscaper that they've had there working for years.
Okay.
So the people in the house decide to go on vacation for a few months and leaves. Well, the 37-year-old, who basically was their landscaper, threw a giant party with hundreds of people there, charged admission.
I can't even be that mad at him.
Hundreds of guests, mostly teens and young adults, flocked into the mansion, each paying an entry fee to cover the security. And he raised thousands and pays over $3,000 with music blasting and cars clogging up the typically quiet street of this mansion. Baffled neighbors grew concerned and filed complaints and called police. I was like, that's not a venue. How come there are so many people there? How are they managing this? We were so disturbed by all the traffic and cars and the people not knowing what's happening, we called the police. Police arrived to find the gardener in charge. They shut down the event and identified Brown as the ringleader. Brown allegedly claimed he was the homeowner, lied, and the party was a celebration for his son's graduation. But he was arrested after the cops found holes in his story. In other words, does this guy really look like he's going to own a $4.3 million mansion?
And throw a party with hundreds of people on it.
Especially with the dreadlocks. You got to love the dreads. Okay? So now he has this big party. He gets arrested. And now he's saying it's all a misunderstanding. Okay? He was charged with breaking and entering, second-degree trespass, contributing to delinquencies of minors. He was cheating and giving everybody alcohol, injury to real estate property, and obtaining property by false pretenses. He posted his $10,000 bond that day, and he has shown no regret for hosting the party. I didn't break the law. I just broke some rules of probably what the owners didn't want me to do. But I didn't break the law. He also admitted to throwing the party for his son and his friends for a profit. I just want to do something that we can have a big party for this house. That's a positive environment for 300 to 400 guests. You know, what's that name of that one silly movie that came out years ago? The parents were gone for the weekend. I forgot the name.
There's been a few of those movies.
Oh, my God. And the kids decide to the animal house, the parents' house. And the parents come back, and the place is trash. Holes in the sheetrock, stains on the floors, carpets are ruined, furniture's ruined. But they had a party. I remember years ago we had a neighbor, and they had a 21st birthday party for their kid. You remember
the night before his birthday.
Big mistake.
He was turning 21 at midnight.
He was turning 21 at midnight, and they had the neighborhood over. They had kegs of beer. I mean, they had a party.
It was a party.
Going. I mean, there was at least 100 people there.
Oh, minimum.
Oh, yeah.
Minimum.
And everybody heard about it. So all
everybody
the 16 and 17, 18-year-olds all showed up, and all of a sudden, Grady Judge showed up.
Oh, man. I stopped by that party to see everybody, and I remember I walk outside.
This party, by the way, was real close to my house.
Yeah, I walk outside. And it's pretty early in the night still, and I see sheriffs down the street staging. It's like four sheriff cars. And I went, oh, I know what's about to happen. I walked in. I told my buddies, I was like, you need to let everybody know the sheriff's department's staging. They're about to come in this house. What do you mean? There's just one cop out there. I said, no, contraire. There's five out there now. I said, they're not here to come talk to everybody. They're here to start arresting people. It's underage. And I remember I told a couple buddies, and we hopped another neighbor's fence.
I remember that.
You know, I was down the other side of the fence. I'm like, the cops show up. What are you doing? I'm just on my neighbor's property observing this party, officer.
Because it was funny.
Why is everybody on that side of the fence? I said, I don't know. We're just observing what's going on the other side of the house here.
So many people came across the fence. They actually broke the neighbor's gate.
Yeah. and a lot of people got arrested.
Oh, I'm telling you, 27, yeah, I think, yeah. Or 37, including the homeowner.
Yep.
Okay.
Include the birthday boy.
Who was still 2 hours from his birthday.
Which guy was, they arrested him at like 11. They booked him at like 12:30.
And he was 21.
And he got charged with underage drinking. I was kind of like, nah, that was a bit rough. 21st birthday year at Holding and Bartow.
But they had all those 14, 15, 16 year
olds. That's what Grady got so mad about.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that the owner of the house is a really nice guy and never done anything wrong in his whole life.
He never promoted this to turn out like it was.
No.
It was a party for his friends and family, and then what happened was everybody heard about it in town, and everybody showed up.
I mean, I walked over to the cop car when he was in it, and I said, here's my phone number. If you got to make bail, call me up. I'll come try to help you get out. I said, this is ridiculous. But it was funny, wasn't it? God, that's got to be 20 years ago, isn't it?
It was a long time ago, yeah.
It's got to be close to 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be.
Well, no, yeah, because yes, I was like 18, 19.
Yeah, so yeah. You're about to be 40 now.
37. Jeez, dude. Man, that's rough. Anyways, another health article. Let me pull this one up here. Eggs strengthen muscles. This is interesting.
I love this article. It's true.
Once made one of the villains of heart health, eating eggs is no longer to be feared. For many years, everybody warned to limit eggs in your diet. However, in 2015, the United States Department of Agriculture removed any upper limit on dietary cholesterol, making a big shift for what we view for eggs now. The egg protein is the most excellent source of all essential amino acids your body needs. It's easy to digest. They're great for building muscle, preventing loss, especially with age. Said facts. Eggs are the most digestible protein source known to man, measured at 97%.
Protein efficiency ratio, highest there is.
Yes, it's almost the cleanest, purest protein you can eat as a whole egg. And I like to bring this up because of choline, B12, vitamin D, selenium, omega-3 fats. Eggs are great at this. I promote them on a regular basis, and I encourage people, especially for men, in the morning, we don't need a lot of carbohydrates. We need to get fat and protein in our system ASAP. And females the same. What it does is it helps to bring cortisol back down, helps to regulate blood sugar and prevent insulin spikes. And what happens when you don't have an insulin spike, it keeps the nutrients and it draws them into the muscle. You have better performance in the gym or outdoor activity or work or whatever you're involved in. So a lot of times in the morning, that's why I'll drink like a GHI shake with like four whole eggs. And that's it. I don't eat anything else for a while. And a lot of times I won't even eat until after the show, usually around like 11:30. And I'll have some like rice and beef and chicken or something like that. But first thing in the morning, if you really want to maintain your blood sugar and you really want to maintain energy, keep your sugar and carbohydrate intake extremely low in the morning and stay with really high quality fats, really high quality protein. And like I said, I think a GHI cleanse or the Fit Food. The Fitbit, a lot of times I'll run that too. I'll go back and forth on it depending on what I want to run. But that with the GHI cleanse or with four eggs in the morning makes a huge difference, because here's another story right here I want to cover. It says bread versus Coca-Cola, how different sugars impact the body. And this goes back to eating the right carbs at the right time. It goes to say here that fructose, a sugar found in fruit and processed foods, may quietly contribute to fatty liver disease and type 2 diabetes. This research we already know. Glucose, which is found in starch like bread and rice and potatoes, your body uses glucose as a source of energy. Glucose raises blood sugar faster than any other sugars, though, and stimulates insulin release. Glucose is a simple sugar. Because it's already in simplest form, glucose can be absorbed in the bloodstream very quickly. So glucose is great, especially like post-workout, like a sugar like this, like rice and chicken. After you work out, you can get your blood sugar back up. You can get it in, you know, insulin in your body, which you need a small amount, and you get your body recovering quickly and shuttling nutrients to your muscles. Fructose, on the other hand, is in like fruits and root vegetables. However, high fructose corn syrup, which is the one it really picks on here, is absorbed the bloodstream immediately and essentially, but it raises blood sugar levels more gradually. However, high fructose corn syrup has a significant increase in excess fat storage, causing stress on the liver and leading to health problems such as fatty liver disease. And this is what it talks about right here. How the essentially how the Coca-Cola goes through and these foods with high fructose corn syrup in them and how it's absorbed and basically puts enormous amount of stress on the liver and contributes to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And so I'll post this article on the website, but another reason why to stay away from foods with high fructose corn syrup in them at all, by all means. I try not to touch this stuff, period. It's just
you did. You're better than I was the other day.
Well, there's no health. There's not even a remotely benefit to it. You have something like glucose, you know, sugar and potatoes or rice. You time those properly with workouts and exercise, they can really benefit your performance and recovery. There's no upside to high fructose corn syrup ever. Anything.
The other day we were at the Stingray, and they had some basically yogurt in the refrigerator, frozen yogurt.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be healthy for you,
yeah.
But it's not healthy. It had high fructose corn syrup in it, and I have to admit, I ate one of them, a little tiny thing. And Austin looked at it and goes, "It's got high fructose corn syrup in it. Not touching it." He didn't. He walked out.
I wasn't touching it. That stuff is so toxic for the liver, man. It's so bad. I mean, I was
actually impressed that you did that.
Well, they've even shown now high doses of high fructose corn syrup puts more stress on the liver than small doses of alcohol does. And it causes more damage to it long term if you continually drink. Because here's the reason why. A lot of times, say, You have a Christmas party once a year, and you have a couple Baileys or a couple beers, whatever, and you take N-acetylcysteine, you take liver support, your liver recovers from it. The problem is, most of the time when people are consuming high fructose corn syrup, it's on a regular basis,
daily,
every single day, which is almost the equivalent of drinking alcohol every single day, multiple times a day. And that's the factor that people don't understand with high fructose corn syrup. So it's best, keep it out of your diet. If you do get exposed to it occasionally, whatever, but make sure you're reading your labels, because this stuff is in everything now, because it's so cheap to produce, because it's just a byproduct of corn production, GMO corn production.
I mean, who would have thought that we would be promoting sugar over this?
Oh, I know.
No, I'm serious.
That's
because
crazy.
Because we say, oh, I've never touched sugar, because sugar's bad. But it ain't compared to nothing.
No, you're much rather off putting, you know, the brown cane sugar in a drink or something and just get it, you know, no sweetener in it than using high fructose corn syrup, man. So I want to add that on there. I'll throw it on the website so you guys can look at it. And there's one article, I think I covered it the other day, that says why processed foods may be secretly raising your blood pressure. I did cover this article. I didn't post it on the website, though. I'll get this on there as well.
No, you started to. You never finished it.
I think I never finished it.
No.
Yes, it was like
let's just cover it.
Beginning of the week on here, and it talks about how food preservatives accumulate in the body, and they basically cross into critical brain regions that control blood pressure. And this is why you're seeing people that are having such issues with hypertension on a regular basis, even though they may be fairly healthy. A lot of preservatives in these foods now, in these processed foods, are causing a lot of issues. They call it inorganic phosphates. The body absorbs poorly, and essentially what it does is it's added to food processing. When they process it, these phosphate additives to enhance flavor, preserve the food, primarily in junk food and Coca-Cola, and is highly absorbable. It says excess folates is linked to health issues. She should know that the folates in high processed foods preserve them and blend ingredients together. However, consuming this has the potential to cause weak bone damage, weak bone structure, and damage to the kidneys. Increased risk of heart issues due to the imbalance of the ratio of calcium to phosphorus in the body. They said we tend to store phosphate along calcium in the body in our bones, and our bodies naturally do a great job of managing our phosphate levels. However, when you're eating enormous high levels of inorganic phosphate, it causes the body to pull calcium from the bones. And the phosphates have an essential mineral in the body and important for bodily functions. So this is another issue, too, when it goes into detail. As females get older, a lot of times they have an issue and they're more prone to osteoporosis. This is why it's really important, ladies, when you start getting older, stay away from these highly processed foods.
Take magnesium.
Take magnesium. If you need to add it in there, take
D3K2.
The Osomag. Well, the Osomag formula we have is the MCHC calcium. It's bovine calcium with magnesium, with phosphorus, and D3.
Men don't take that product.
No, that product's amazing for females. As far as, because I've had women that have had issues with osteoporosis and osteopenia.
Men don't need calcium.
And they start taking that product, and it massively helps out with bone density in females because it's specifically designed to be a balanced formula, and it's got bovine MTHC calcium in it. Never, I don't care who you are, male or female, never take products with basically calcium carbonate in them. Ever. Under any circumstances. It's an organic calcium that cannot be processed. It cannot be absorbed.
Inorganic.
Excuse me, yes.
And the problem with that is it's going to build up in your brain.
Exactly where it goes.
In the arteries. It's going to cause hardening in the arteries. It's going to get up in your joints. It's going to cause arthritic conditions.
Can't be absorbed. It's like going to a rock mine and breaking up a bunch of rock and granite using calcium.
This is why I drink distilled water because it does. If you saw there's a video of me doing this. On our website.
I will find it. I think it's on the old website. Stand by.
We'll pull it up. And the thing about it is that I actually take my distiller tank where I boil the water to make distilled water, and I go inside of it, and I start chipping out the calcium carbonate, and this is what builds up inside of your arteries. That's why it's called hardening of the arteries. Yep. That's why you never drink mineralized water. It's always calcium carbonate, and you never, ever buy that water that's been alkalinized because they're having to use some other compound to alkalinize it, and it's probably calcium. So be very, very careful with all the stuff that you put into your bodies and realize that distilled water or reverse osmosis water is going to be your best choice. If you're really concerned about it having no trace minerals in it, get a couple drops of our Aquatrace put in there.
Well, the Aquatrace is great because it'll really prevent cramping.
Well, here you go. Here, this is it right here. Look at this. See this? This is the stuff coming out. Look at this.
That's what the boiler leaves behind after it boils the water. That's what's left in the water distiller. Now, this is well water.
Yeah, look at that.
This is how hard the well water is down here. And if you don't use a distiller and you're drinking regular water,
you're putting all that in your body.
You're putting this in your body. Your body's got to get it out. Look at that.
And doctors actually cut their gloves while doing bypass surgery on this because it's so sharp. You guys are always asking me the question. And I'm just going to be real straight with you on this. Same question over and over again. Why do you look so young, Ted? I get that asked all the time.
Why do you look so young, Ted?
Thank you. I'm glad you asked. Number one, I've been drinking distilled water for the past 40 years. I haven't built this junk up in my system. My brain still works at 100%. I take supplements.
Yeah.
Every single day I take a couple handfuls of supplements. I take my purple sticks with the green tea.
I know you take the heck out of this stuff.
You know how much I take it out.
It's ridiculous.
Now, if you're concerned about them, if you don't want to use the Aquatrace, right, and you're concerned about distilled water, put a teaspoon of the magnesium brain food in every glass.
You do that, too.
Now it's no longer distilled water, and it's no longer toxic with calcium carbonate, but you've got minerals in it. It's no longer distilled. If you're concerned about distilled water or reverse osmosis water, I drink a lot of that every single day because about 10 years ago when we developed that product, I was starting to get brain fog. I said, what the heck am I getting brain fog for? Gone. Done. I don't get that anymore. That magnesium is the best I've ever seen. And magnesium is so much more important because even if you get too much magnesium, it's water soluble anyhow, and the kidneys excrete it.
Exactly,
it's not
right.
A big deal. Guys, don't take calcium if you're a guy, and don't drink mineralized water. Just don't do it. By the way, heart disease has become a more complex killer, but now they're saying that the amount of people that are having heart attacks are down nearly 90% since 1970. This is complete and total lie. You think, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
What they've done now, they separate all the categories of heart attacks into multifaceted categories.
Exactly. There you okay? go.
So now they say, oh, by the way, the quote, heart attack's down now by 90%. No, it's not down. It's actually probably worse than it was, along with cancer. What they do now, they have like 10 different categories of these heart attacks. Oh, it's not a real heart attack. It's this. It's not a real heart attack. It's this. It's not a real heart attack. It's this. Heart attacks aren't down by 90%. It's ridiculous. But yet heart disease has become a more complex killer because they've broken it up. It says other heart conditions like heart failure. Now they're not saying that's not a heart attack anymore. Okay. Arrhythmias which cause heart failure. High blood pressure which cause stroke, heart disease, have been sharply increased. Oh, sharply increased because the skewed numbers from the actual statistics have changed, now accounting for nearly half of all heart deaths. As Americans live longer, surviving heart attacks often leads to chronic heart problems, highlighting the growing need to manage long-term cardiovascular health not just prevent heart attacks. This is exactly what they did to our friend who was wearing that stupid monitor watch. They almost killed him. See him, he's got his lips are blue and they're shaking, he's quivering, he can barely talk. Unbelievable. Because he was taking beta blockers. Because he was mixing beta blockers with alcohol. Because his heart rate spiked one night. Unbelievable. Guys, listen to me. I can't tell you how many times I've had a bad dream. It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it does. Man, I jump out of bed. I boing out of bed. I kind of do an arch out of bed, land on my feet, looking around, looking for the Glock. Yo, okay, well, chances are my heart just spiked, Austin. Yeah. I'm probably running 150 beats a minute right now because I'm thinking I got an intruder in the house because I was having a bad dream. That's why you pray over your mind before you go to sleep, by the way. Crazy day slides like that. But the reality is that don't allow yourself to get caught up in the, oh, my gosh, I've got to go to the cardiologist. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. Because one incident happens like that. Don't allow yourself to think like that. Think like this. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to be practicing preventive health care the rest of my life. I want to reduce my risks of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. I spoke to a good friend of mine this morning. She actually babysits and has to watch for kids. And she's got a couple now. They're attorneys, and they're basically up in, you know, Orlando. And they've gone on a cruise for 5 days. And now she's sitting there house-sitting and watching their two children, one of which is a year old and the other one, which is like 3 years old. The three-year-old has massive autism, Austin. Massive autism.
Yeah.
And she has gone to those people and brought them a whole bunch of articles on autism and vaccines that I gave her, by the way. I mean, good quality articles. You can go to Green Med Info, and you can actually find a bunch of those articles on vaccines, if you'd like to have those, about 300 of them. And I've had a bunch of them printed, and I gave them to her. She took them to those folks, those attorneys, and left them at their home. And they turned right around and took that 12-month-old and gave them all the vaccines already. And they're continuing to give them all the vaccines. They didn't even question it. Now, I've got to ask you guys a question now. This whole thing has to be a special kind of not thinking through the situations when you do stuff like this. If you've got a kid who's absolutely fantastic and in 18 months he gets the MMR vaccine and his lights go out, and now you've got an autistic child for the rest of your life, and you've got another child coming up behind that, which I've seen this happen too, and that kid's lights go out too. Now you've got two autistic kids. I've seen it happen. And all of a sudden by the third kid, they're like, something's not right with this. We're not doing this anymore. But now they've got two autistic kids. Why would it take you having an autistic child or two autistic children before you ask the question of maybe there's something wrong with these vaccines? Maybe something that I'm doing from an environmental standpoint is causing my child to become autistic. Maybe it's the pediatrician who's been getting his subsidies from Blue Cross Blue Shield if he has a 90% compliance rate, if he has that many people vaccinated in his practice. Maybe it's that pediatrician who said, you can't come to my practice in the event that you don't vaccinate your child because I can't make my compliance rate, which he won't tell you that, but that's why he won't do it. I had a friend of mine years ago helped raise this kid, and I talked to him about vaccines until I was blue in the face. He said he wasn't going to vaccinate his kid. That's not what I'm going to do. I said, okay. We gave him about 50, 60 articles to read. He decided he wasn't going to do it. Finally, he comes in, and he's now. And we ask him, how's the baby doing? Great. You're not vaccinating, right? No, we've decided to vaccinate. And I'm like, what? You said you weren't going to do that. Well, my pediatrician said that, you know, he won't take us and we have to go to him so the insurance will cover it. My response was very simple. I'll cover the cost of your doctor's visits with your child to go somewhere else so you don't have to vaccinate the child. No, we're not going to do that. Finally, he said to me, if it's God's will, my child will have autism. Austin heard it. I heard it.
I couldn't believe, because that's pure blasphemy. And I said, that's called best providentialism. That means that no matter what happens to you, it's God's will. You step in front of a semi truck and you commit suicide, it's God's will. You jump out of an airplane without a parachute, it was God's will. No, it's not. You were stupid and you jumped out of a parachute without out of a plane without a parachute. You stepped in front of a semi truck. Obviously, you're trying to kill yourself. That's not God's will for you. God doesn't come to kill. He comes to give life and give life in abundance. Satan comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. Well, guess what? That little boy came down with autism after he said it'd be God's will. He cursed his own child. Listen to me, friends. Think through what you're doing with your kids. It's super important. You only get one shot. First of all, we don't get an instruction manual. This is my first time coming through this planet, period. Okay? Now, we get to go to heaven forever. We get to be there for a really long time, like for eternity. But we only get one shot here when we first get here. We don't have an instruction manual with our kids. If you're giving your kids junk food all the time and they're getting bigger and fatter and obeser and sicker, why are you doing that? I'm asking you the question. Remember the three questions? What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is it okay? What am I doing to my kid? What's it doing to that kid? Is it okay? That's why I love the fact that now they're taking Thimerosal all out. But they're probably going to put it in some other sterile in there like aluminum. They got to sterilize this junk so you can get multi-shot vials. So you can basically pull more and more and more shots out of it. Yep. That's why they do this. It's because it's cheaper. They have to put a sterile in there. So be very careful when you start putting vaccines into yourself or into your children, because it's going to affect their health for the rest of their lives. I told Austin he's 18 years old or 19 years old. He graduated from college, had his bachelor's degree. Brilliant young man that he is. And he would have gone to the Marine Corps in the OCS program. And I said, I've protected you from vaccines for 19 years. You're calling out what you want to do. But they wouldn't let him deploy in the Marine Corps unless he took the vaccines. And then he said, well, I don't want to have to serve under Obama. So he chose not to go.
Yeah, well, I was going to have a desk job stateside under Obama. That would have been gay.
It'd been pretty gay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. I couldn't deploy or anything. I was like, this is stupid. But I want to cover something real quick. I'm going to bring this up. This is kind of another dark topic, but I got to cover it because I had some more information that popped up. You guys know we had this massive operation with Dragon Eye, with U.S. Marshals, and recovered 60 children, primarily young girls, that are basically being trafficked in Tampa. A very dark topic, but I want to cover this because it just came out the other day and some people are posting this. It's now been like kind of a soft disclosure on here that the hotel, this is crazy, that this operating a lot of the sex trafficking was Americana Inn and Suites off Fletcher Avenue in Tampa.
That's
pull this up.
That's within an hour from us.
This is a video. This is just a video of a drive-by. Basically, the hotel's been shut down now. This is off 275. I've passed this hotel numerous times. I know exactly where it's at on here. And what's crazy about this is something that people drove by, probably tens of thousands of people drove by.
Millions.
Every day. Had no idea.
Millions over the years. Over
the atrocities that were going on inside this hotel room with these young girls. And they recovered a lot of them all the way down to the age of 7. And this is something that's very real. It's a very serious problem. We brought up on the show the other day, so I'm not going to keep reiterating it. But be so cautious. If you have young girls or young boys, be so cautious with them out in public places. Florida is not a joke with this topic. Florida is one of the biggest trafficking hubs in the entire country, especially with the immigration, with the ports, with the doggone peninsula that we're on. But this is going on here at Americana Inn and Suites. Over 60 missing children have basically been recovered. And, I mean, right on the side of 275 here. And they talk about
right it. Right next detail. To the interstate next for transport.
Yep. 275. Straight up. Right out to the port. Right up I-10 if they want to. Right up 75 to I-10. And they go into detail in this article. I'm not going to read all of it. Some of it's kind of dark on here. They talked about a lot of them. One of the ways they figured this out the first time was they were looking for a girl. And they went to an address that had a tip on. And there were two men there that answered the door. And they weren't her family. And they basically ended up getting a warrant. They found her hiding under a bed, and obviously they've been trafficking her. And then it led to this whole other operation. U.S. Marshals got involved, which led them to this hotel with Americana Inn and Suites.
If you watch that one movie with Denzel Washington, I forgot the name of it, but he's the bad dude killing all the bad guys. You know, the
Equalizer.
Russian, yeah. And don't watch the movie with kids. It's way too intense. And he basically, talks to this one guy about buying this girl out
right.
of prostitution. He says, I'm going to give you $9,800.
Right.
And he goes, $9,800? We still sell this girl as a virgin.
Yeah.
We have years left with her. Yeah. The answer is no. I'll give her to you for 1 month for that or whatever. And then, of course, Denzel Washington does what Denzel Washington does. He took care of all of them. But the point was, is that's how bad the child trafficking is.
Yes.
They sell these young girls as virgins. Mark Rutland had the same thing happen to him in Thailand, Austin.
Yep.
He had a guy come in and knock on his bedroom door and basically had like an 8-year-old with him. He said,
yes,
this is guaranteed certified virgin. And Mark says, get out of here. I'm not interested in this. So Mark started an orphanage over there,
yep,
a school, basically to get these girls out of the trafficking.
Which we've supported for almost 10 years now, yeah, I think. And a lot of you guys have helped us support it. And the girls now are actually starting to get ready to graduate.
Yeah.
So we've been proud of them. They've done well. It's been good.
And here's another article I wanted to cover real quick. I can't read it all. It's from John Whitehead. He writes some really good stuff. He goes, the real national emergency is not immigration. It's endless wars, failing infrastructure, and a dying republic.
Yeah.
He goes, every gun that is made, every warship launched, and every rocket that's fired, in a single sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. Eisenhower said that. 70 years after Eisenhower warned about the military-industrial complex, America is still stealing from its own people to fund a global empire. In 2025 alone, the U.S. has launched airstrikes in Yemen, bombed Houthi ports and radar installations, killing scores of civilians, deployed greater numbers of troops and multiple aircraft carriers to the Middle East, and edged closer to direct war with Iran in support of Israel's escalating conflict. Each of these new fronts has been sold to the public as national defense and truth. They are the latest outposts in a decades-long campaign of empire maintenance, one that lines the pockets of defense contractors while schools crumbles, bridges collapse, and veterans sleep in the streets at home. This isn't about national defense. It's about empire maintenance. It's about preserving a military-industrial complex that profits from endless wars, global policing, and foreign occupations while the nation's infrastructure rots and people are neglected. This is about the people who like to have free air with their giant noses that basically want to get more and more and more profit all of the time. This is sickening to me. But he's right. He's absolutely right. Israel has spent tens of billions of dollars now in this little escapade they had. Iran's declaring victory on what happened to them.
Yeah.
Israel had no idea they were getting rained on by so many missiles.
Yeah.
They've had a massive brain drain of people who've left their country now who don't want to be involved in this junk anymore. And now Benjamin Netanyahu is stopping dual Israeli citizens from leaving their country. Because they're all leaving. They're like, this guy's nuts. I don't want to be here while these things raining missiles on us.
Let's be real. I guarantee you, just like the United States, a large population, a large portion of the population of Israelis and Jews in Israel,
they don't want to
be involved in this either. They
don't
want to be involved either. Why are we constantly bombing everyone? Why are we constantly getting another conflict over anything? And so just something, always keep your minds open to topics. Don't allow yourself to get stuck in this left-right paradigm that they try to stick in.
Here's some of the hemorrhage. $5 billion in military outlays, $725 million per day, $593 million per day on failed defensive strikes, because Iran's still there, $132 million a day on missile defense, Iron Dome burned, $200 million daily. Whoa! 38,700 damage claims in Israel, 11,000 evacuations. You know, unbelievable. 80,000 Israelis fled in 2024. Netanyahu banned dual nationals from leaving to stop the brain drain. Venture capital, including froze, construction halted, mega projects halted, public debt hit to 75% of GDP, government slashed $200 million from hospitals and schools. Why? Because they decided they wanted to just throw some missiles at Iran and completely failed in their process. And then they had to get us involved in it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And then there was the great part. Then we go do this B-2 bombing run, right? Super strategic run. We get a ceasefire on both sides. Then Israel goes, oh, we still got like 18 missiles left. They dropped this giant payload on Iran right afterwards, hit like another 15 sites that had nothing to do with it. And that's why I told my buddies last night. I said, isn't it funny? We went out there. We did a strategic strike on these nuclear sites because everything was about Iran getting nukes. That was the entire argument.
That was the lie.
That was the lie. Well, then we go hit their sites, allegedly. And Israel goes, well, we need a regime change now. The nuclear sites aren't enough. And you go, okay, obviously everything's been a total lie. And what's not a lie, though, and I can tell you this right now, is the benefits of magnesium and what it can do to prevent strokes and high blood pressure.
That was a really good segue.
Thank you, my friend. So this
He's
is
getting pretty good at this.
Harrison wrote this article, great article, Marvels of Magnesium. Research showed that 75% of those living in the West don't consume sufficient levels of magnesium. That is magnesium deficiency. I don't have time to cover it because I'm running the clock down. But there's a whole article that talks about abundant substances, what it does, the nutrients that it provides with magnesium, and how important it is in preventing a lot of these types of issues. And so go on the website, read this article, Team Health Masters. A lot of great topics on it, including research studies that show why magnesium is so important to the body.
I take it every single day. I have to.
Yep.
It keeps me from cramping up. I love this stuff.
Great.
And my brain stays nice and frosty all the time.
Hey, it does.
Hey, you guys have a great weekend. I'll be in church again on Sunday praying for you. Thanks for your prayers for us. I love you guys. Thanks again for your support. If it wasn't for you guys being here for us and getting your supplements from us, we couldn't be here. We try to make the show as entertaining as we possibly can. Sometimes there's some really dark things we got to talk about. It's kind of why I want to talk to you about the guy who decided to have a big party at the guy's mansion.
Got to have some humor.
Got to have some
wild stuff.
But I love you, and I appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And thank you for being our family. God bless.
Yes. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. And you guys have a fantastic weekend, my friends. Stay strong, stay healthy. We'll talk to you again on Monday, as always.